Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Titus has three chapters, and for some reason we can't hardly get out of them because it's just so good. We've been really hanging out in Titus chapter 2 for a long time, and Titus was a man that the Apostle Paul raised up and set in the island of Crete in Greece. And so it's fascinating the connections there, but anyway, it's neat to see. I also want to say just a special little welcome to some of our TU students that are back in the house, which is neat to see. Hazel, yeah, I see you, and bringing some of your crew. Yeah. I think it's Hazel's birthday, is that right? That's what I just heard. Should we do just a really quick happy birthday song to you? All right. And I'm a bad singer, so I'll lead. Are y'all ready? Her name's Hazel. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Hazel. Happy birthday to you. All right. How old are you? 19. Man, just getting started. Anybody remember 19? Nope. That was a while ago. All right. If you got your Bibles, flip with me to Titus chapter 2. It's going to be in the last about 15% of your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, then you can flip with us we can look at the verses here on the screen as well, but we'll be in chapter 2, and our goal is to get through at least one verse today, perhaps even a couple of them. Let's dive in. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. You, however, this is the Apostle Paul writing to his spiritual son Titus, you must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. I hung there for a considerable amount of time 2 weeks ago as we broke down what men need to do to grow in their leadership, whether it's self-leadership, leadership in their home, in their organization, in their community, wherever they are. These are some things that men need to have dialed in. Then he pivots and he starts talking about women, and he probably could have written a really long letter because all the issues that women have, we could be here forever. But he just writes a couple verses, but they're powerful that we're going to dive into, and perhaps not only that they're just for women, but probably all of us could learn a little bit from. Verse 3, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way that they live. Okay, so what does a reverent life look like? He dives in. Not to be slanderers, not to be addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Each year I go on a mentor's weekend where I've got a couple mentors in my life that have poured into me all the way back to whenever I was 19. Is that wild, Hazel? I was your age, and I had a couple guys that entered the scene in my life. These guys now are 60, but there has been, back then, they were like my age now. So they were like 40 back whenever I was a kid. So I love the fact that we can have people, as the Bible was saying, older women that can teach the younger women, and I've done that in my own life where I've got older men, preferably 15, 20 years older, that have seen some things, that have been ahead in life. And so once a year in the fall, we always get together. And that weekend is coming up. It's going to be the end of September, 1st of October that we do this trip. We've done trips to Michigan and Colorado, and there's usually something demanding that's required of us. We climb a mountain, we almost die, we go fishing, we go hunting, we do something, and then we pour into each other's lives, we speak into each other. This one particular trip, we're up in Lake Michigan, and we get this boat, we rent a boat and a guide that takes us out, and it's deep sea fishing or deep lake fishing, and we're going after the trout and the salmon and it's going to be this great catch. And then whatever we catch, then we're going to cook up and eat that night. So as we're out there, my fishing experience has been, we go to my grandfather's pond, and we have these little hooks, and the night before, we are digging in the moist dirt and mud to try to find night crawlers. And we pull them out, and they're these tiny little things, and they just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming, and boom, and they pop out. You're like, I got one. And what Dad would do is he'd take his thumb and just pierce that thing and cut it in half, and the thing is just like wiggling and all sorts of stuff. It's really cool. Any women, you're like digging this story. All the guys are like, oh, yeah. And we stick it on the hook, and you can, you know, and it's ready. I mean, it has breakfast, and a fish is like looking at that thing, and they're excited for it. And it's this little gold hook that we would put it on. Whenever we go out here to Lake Michigan, the hook all of a sudden is exponentially bigger. And we're not just putting like little beam off or night crawlers on. Now there's this. There's these things that aren't even real, but they dance, and they're sparkly, and they're shiny, and it catches the eye, and whenever that sunlight hits it in just the right way off of the waves, and it just takes off, and he knows how to pull it, and he takes the boat, and he just kind of cruises a little bit, so they're just constantly dragging and swimming, and bam! Salmon just hits that thing and takes off with it. Man, you're pulling it. And just let them go, let them go, let them go. And then when you're pulling it, and you're just let them wear themselves out. And I'm wearing myself out on top of this boat. And we were able to pull in a few of them. Here's a picture of just the little guys that we were able to pull in. And check that out. It's kind of fun. So we're eating that then at night and filleting these guys up. And then there's one more. I should send this next one to Yeti. I'm holding a Yeti with that. That looks like an outdoor life right there. Like that ought to be on the cover of a fishing magazine. And there's something about that lures us away. It attracts us and draws us in with some sort of a shiny something that we like, and it's going to taste good in our mouth. And oh, I just can't wait to just sink my teeth into this, and it's enticing, and I want to pursue that, and I want my life to be about certain things like that. There are hooks that draw us in that we all have certain appetites for. There are appetites that the enemy, Satan, is really smart. I don't even know that he's necessarily smart. He's just old, and he knows what works. He just knows that we're creatures of habit. He's like, you humans, you silly humans, you do the same stuff over and over. I don't have to come up with new ideas because you always fall for the same stuff over and over and over again. Thomas Adams, he said this, Satan, like a fisher, baits his hook according to the appetite of the fish. He knows what will draw us in, and there is a hook for all of us, and perhaps as the Apostle Paul is laying this out for Timothy, he's like, hey, as you're talking to the people of your church, here's one thing that we cannot have in the house. And it's slanderers. It's those that are willing to talk about others in the house or outside of the house, but you cannot have that. He goes, so teach them. Obviously, this must have been an issue for the church of Crete. He's like, you got to start teaching them. You got to talk to them. And he's saying specifically with the women. Because when the women get around each other, they like to talk. I'm not a woman. I biologically, scientifically, mentally, all of the issues, I can never be a woman. It's not possible. But I came from one. I have a sister who's one. I married one. I produced two. I have been around lots of women. Y'all like to talk. And he says, there's a certain thing that ought to be in your mouth that should really be life-giving and not talking about others, especially in their weaknesses. When other people aren't crushing it, it isn't a great opportunity for you to then start talking about them with everybody else. He goes, if that stuff is happening, you need to take an axe to the root of that. And can I just encourage you to take an axe to the root of that inside of your own heart and inside of your own tongue? Man, I'll tell you, I want gossip. To me, gossip is gross. and I want it to be so far away from me. The whole idea of let's talk about the person who's not in the room is such a bummer. It's a bummer move for you. It's a big bummer for them to be talked about when they're not even there to explain or to be able to share their own thoughts or their own feelings on the issue. But for some reason, we in all of our Christian maturity think that, I bet this is what Jesus would do. It's probably a good Jesus move. They're not here. So let's talk about what they're going through in their marriage. Let's talk about how messed up their kids are. Let's talk about how they just lost their job. Can you believe what Sally said? I'll tell you this, man. I have just come to the firm belief that if I hear you talking about someone, why should I not believe that you're probably talking about me when I'm not there? You are educating me on who you are. As soon as you open your mouth, you are speaking from your worldview on how you think we ought to treat others. And this is how your move is. And you know what I do? It's like, woo, man, we are at a breach of trust, and I just can't trust you. We know that Becky can't trust you because she's not even in the room and you're talking about her. And now you're trying to say it to me. And sometimes, because we're really good Christians, we can dress it up with some Christianese. Hey, let's just pray. We just need to pray for Susie. Let me tell you everything that's going on with Susie. Or perhaps we'll even preface it with this. I don't know, I might be speaking out of school a little bit, but you know, I just think that some things we just need to let you know. So you already know that you're talking out of school? You got that conviction inside of you. So you wanted to preface everything that you're about to say with, I know that this is wrong, but we're gonna go there anyway. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. I'm just wanting to explain the scriptures a little bit. And if the toes do get stepped on, pull them back or put on some steel-toed boots or just put them out there and say, God, change me. Shift my tongue. Let me use this thing as a blessing and not a curse. How can fresh water and salt water come from the same stream? How can we bless our brother and curse our brother at the same time? Man, let our mouths be a life-giving source. So we look at verse 3 here. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent. And this is how they do it. Do not be slanderers. Interesting here. I see as it breaks down these three verses of women, I see a bunch of W words, and perhaps we could frame it with a whole bunch of W's, okay? So likewise, teach the older women to be reverent, to not slander. I see words. Not addicted to much wine. We've got wine, but to teach what is good. We've got your wisdom. In verse 4, that they would urge the younger women to love their husbands and their children. I've just put wifing. We're just going to make that a hyphenated word right there or an apostrophe word, okay? So far, here's where we're at. Words, wine, wisdom, wifing. Verse 5, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands so that they will not malign the word of God. We've got the wants and our work that we're willing for our witness. Here's where we want to go with our women and really for all of us, but in the next few weeks. Women, who you are eventually establishes a reputation over the course of time. The definition of reputation is this. It's the widespread belief that someone or something has a particular habit or a characteristic. You have a habit or you have in you a characteristic that you do like to talk about others. You do like having information. How many of y'all know having information is kind of fun? It's kind of cool. I got the inside info. They let me have it, and man, it's so empowering. And now I want to step into this moment, and you're like, Brock, I know I shouldn't, and I need to control my lips, but it's just so fun to be able to share somebody else's information. Ah! Gosh, that was so good. Oh, that was so good. Man, was that incredible. That was amazing. This was a moment, like I just had to do it. Why? Because you can't control yourself. You do not have self-control. You don't have self-governance. It controls you. That whole issue of slander and gossip and talking about others, that controls your inner man. And you're like, I just can't stop talking. And so here we go, and we're off and running. That's your reputation. That's what you're known for. I'll tell you that if I know you for that, we probably won't spend a ton of time talking about things that matter. I'll probably intentionally keep it at a pretty surface level. Because we can only kind of build relationships of trust based upon past experience. You're building a track record of how you treat the friends in your life. This is your relationships, and this is what you do when they're not in the room. Okay, so I'm going to base my trust levels upon how you talk. And so let's just talk about weather and sports scores, because I am not going to go deep. You have lost trust. When you lose trust, you're really not invited to maybe be in deeper relationship. You're probably not going to be the one that's going to lead the department if we don't trust you. You're probably not the one that's going to be whatever those things are. You start to limit influence the more that you think that slander and gossip is a good move. You lose. If you've got good leadership around you, you lose that way. I recently was a part of a cohort that was led by Alyssa's dad, Tim Johns, over the summer. And while he was doing these teachings and trainings, one of them was how do we build trust? And specifically in how we're leading others. The word trust means this. Trust is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, the ability, or strength of someone or something. It takes trust to create a connection. If I don't trust you, we're not going to connect much. Would y'all agree? You're probably not like, man, I can't wait to connect with this person who is so deceptive. This person who I know is talking about me behind my back. Man, let's go deep. Let's share all of my intimate things with you. If there's no trust, there's no connection, or it's a poor connection at best. When there's no connection, it limits the flow of grace. Let's say that I have a deep connection with you, and we know that we're both not awesome. But I love you, and so we're going to extend grace with each other. If there's not a deep connection, we don't really trust each other, I'm going to have even less grace for you because my heart isn't in it at deep levels. But when we're connected, we can come alive with the depths of the connection. We can connect deeper where grace is extended to one another. We build trust for the essential life-giving relationships that we have. We want cultures of a high sense of belonging. I don't know about you, but I want to build a church culture of a high sense of belonging. Like, man, I'm in. I'm loved. I'm protected. Like, these people, they got my back. These people, they don't talk about me behind my back. And all of my weaknesses and frailties and bummers, love covers a multitude of my mess and my sin. This place has got my back. If there's anywhere that I can go and I can feel safe, surely it's the people of God. Surely it's the house of God where I can run into and it's a safe refuge. And I can share all of my bummers and I know that they'll throw a blanket to cover me of grace and not expose me to their friends and their family or take it out to the public. It's a high sense of belonging. I desire to have a church family that is the safest place on earth. You come up in here, you come to Fairmount Friends, you are safe. You are protected. You will not be exposed. We got you. And we're not going to be Christianese like, hey, we need to like go and talk about each other and then pray for each other. No. Let's stop that stuff. Can we just all agree? I mean, come on. Let's just please. We can at least agree to that. Stop with the gauze, you know, kind of hiding it under the shiny veneer of praying for each other. You pray for them. How about you first? You go first, and then I'll follow up, and I'll pray for him. But you lead in prayer. Got it? Thanks, Alyssa. A high sense of belonging. It takes trust, connection, attachments. And I want to have a high attachment strength here. Man, I come in, I can connect, and I can attach at deep levels. What it does is it also drives really good mental health, spiritual health. Whenever I've got a family that's got my back, man, I'm feeling good. It lowers the feelings of anxiety. Some of y'all know living in a small town is living in a fishbowl. Not always fun. Everybody knows your mess. And I mean everybody. What if we all know, and yet we still love? See, it's not that love is blind. Love sees clearly. Love sees it all, man. I see it, and I still love you. Love is not blind. Love sees, love knows, and love says, come here, baby. I got you. I will not expose you. I do not talk about you. This is Fort Knox. This is locked down. Your information is safe right here. Apostle Paul is not playing. He goes, hey, the first thing we need to address with the women is this. Woo! Y'all remember when Dad came home? Yeah, you all remember. Your behind still remembers. When Dad comes home, hey, there's a few things that we need to address. And first things first that we're going to address, and I'm like, oh, shoot, man. Why did Mom tell him, right? And the first thing is always most important. Interesting that the first thing that Paul wants to address is, hey, women, shut your mouths. Protect each other. We need some mama bears that will come up in here and protect and help each other to build safe places, sense of belonging. Man, I don't have to stress. Man, it lowers anxiety. I don't have to freak out. I've got a family that's got my back. I've got a family. Connection is initiated and it's sustained through high levels of trust. Part of what we did in this cohort is we asked, what are the three things that are trust builders and the three things that are trust destroyers? And so then we all were kind of throwing these ideas in, and I had my three, and then other people threw in some three. Here were some things that I pulled out that were some that I really enjoyed. These are some trust builders. Sharing my weaknesses and feeling understood and not judged. Wouldn't that be so amazing? Would that just shift a safe place? Another one, trust builder is humility. I need somebody that's reliable. Don't you want to just be the most reliable person? Stuff hits the fan. Man, who are we going to lean on? Darkest day of their life. Who are we sucking wind and going through it all? But I'm going to got this. I got emotional stability. I've got some mental clarity. I'm going to lead the family. Man, that is a trust builder right there. How about transparency in our interactions? I can trust someone who feels comfortable and revealing his warts with me. Consistency. Consistency in word. We honor our commitments. We're safe with emotions. We're safe with other people's information. We give life-giving words of affirmation. Life-giving and life-driving connections. Consistency in listening. We attune well to others. We attune well to the room. We listen with curiosity. We're trying to listen, not with our answer running. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're listening to the person, and you already have your response running in your head. Nope, I'm listening so I can hear. I'm listening with passion. I'm leaning in when I listen. Why? Because I'm trying to make a connection, and it drives a culture of trust. Here's the trust destroyers. When I share things, and I'm judged or critiqued. Gossip. Talking about me to others or talking to me about others. How many of you know what Sally says about Susie says more about Sally than Susie? No? When you open your mouth, you're telling me more about yourself than you are about whatever the information situation was. You're revealing whether you're safe or not. It says a lot about you. Lying. They don't know how to control their tongue. Acting transactionally, as if we're making an agreement or we're shifting, we're trying to make a contract rather than a covenant. A failure to keep promises. Self-centeredness in relationship. I'll tell you, it takes years to establish high levels of trust, and it takes a moment to break it. It takes years. I mean, years to build that house, and in a moment, a fire wipes out. James chapter 3 says the tongue is like a fire, and it's a little spark that can set a fire across the entire forest, and if you can't control it, then you're setting fires everywhere that you go. It takes years to drive and to build and to work and to labor to build a culture here where I feel safe, where I feel protected, where we got each other, where we're going to cover each other, where I shut my mouth and this thing speaks blessing. That takes years. And in a moment, relationship over. In a while. Therefore, let's be delicate. Let's be intentional. Let's be safe. Very safe people. There's not a lot of margin to mess this one up. And so, as Thomas Adams has said, you know, Satan, like a fisher, he knows how to bait the hook exactly for what you've got an appetite for. And man, if you love this stuff, it's hook, line, and sinker. So I looked for areas where Jesus heard information about people. I'm looking in the Bible. Where did Jesus get information about people? And then as soon as he had information about others, what did he do with it? And I'm looking, surely he thought it was a good move to go and tell everybody else about how dumb and stupid and terrible and sinful others are. And I couldn't find it anywhere. I'm like, Jesus, you silly goose. You are a human. Surely you are doing this sort of stuff too. I mean, come on, you were tempted. And did you ever give in to gossip? I couldn't find it anywhere. He protected others. And if anybody has the right to judge others, surely it's Jesus. And yet, he says, I got you. I'm not going to expose you. Check this out. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. There are six things that Yahweh hates, seven that he abhors. A haughty look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that weaves wicked plots, feet that hurry to do evil, a false witness who lies with every breath, and one who sows dissension among brothers. If you're the person that's sowing dissension and relational breakdown, then please stop, repent, which means to turn, means to change your life, change your ways. And we need to have encounters with Jesus where our inner man gets healthy. Gossiping people are not healthy on the inside. That's not a healthy move. It's not a good move. And we really cannot have it in my immediate family, in our extended church family, in our extended community family. Check this one out. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 17. Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is one who rushes into a quarrel not their own. Like a maniac shooting flames of arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor, and he says, I'm only joking. Ooh, I cannot stand that. I'll tell you who's good at that. Teenagers. Teenagers are good at that. They speak, they're very bilingual. They speak English, and they speak sarcasm, and they're fluent in both. And I can't handle the sarcasm. Sarcasm comes from the Greek word sarkasian. Sarkasian literally means the tearing of flesh. So whenever you say, ha, 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 I was just joking, I'm just tearing your flesh off and ripping your head off. I'm just joking. You're the sensitive one. Why are you being so sensitive, man? The Bible says if you do that, you think that that's funny, the Lord abhors that kind of humor. It's like you're shooting fiery arrows. Without wood, a fire goes out. And without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Stop throwing more wood on the fire. A plus B equals C. A plus minus B equals C. Plus plus, I don't know. I'm sure if you just take one of them out, the whole equation goes away. So take the wood and take the gossip out of the relationship. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels, and they go down to the inner parts. Oh, it tastes so good. But it tastes so good. It's like the coating of silver dross on the earthenware of fervent lips with an evil heart. Enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but their hearts, they harbor deceit. Though their speech is charming, do not believe them, for seven abominations fill their hearts. Their malice may be concealed by deception, but their wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Interesting, the Bible says if that stuff happens, expose it in the assembly. Anybody pumped about that? Because you can do that on the side. Hey, let me tell you about what happened to, you know what happened to whoever. Oh yeah. Hey, let me tell you who's talking about who. Let's do that. You know what my parents used to threaten me with? No? Then I'll tell you. They used to threaten me with, what if we shot a video of how you and Brittany, that's my sister, what if you and Brittany, we shot a video and then we took it to church and showed all the church. I'm like, ah, no! Like, she would threaten me with, like, exposing me in the assembly. And it is biblical, and I'm thankful that we didn't have a video camera in our house. Whoever digs a pit, you will fall into it. If someone rolls a stone, it will roll back on you. If you like talking about others, just be ready. That day's probably coming when others will be talking about you. A lying tongue hates those that it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Proverbs 26, if you don't believe me, please believe the Bible. The bait of Satan, it's looking to hook you. I just want to ask myself, if that's a driver inside of me, what's the driver? Why do I want to share about others? Why do I think that that's really like a good Christian, heart of God, life-giving move? Why is that your move? Why? Why? Why is that how you want to spend your time in life? And why is that how you want to treat others in our family, in our community? That's not a family move. You're separating the family. The one who should be separated is you, not the one that keeps getting dinged up. But usually it's the one that gets hurt that will leave. And the one that will stay is the one that's causing division and dissension. Family, please, can we just agree that the Bible's true and we can't live like that? Can we? Can we agree? People, can we agree on this? I mean, this is just the scripture. We've got to become this. I'm not coming off this. This is who we've got to be. I just don't want to play with this stuff. Proverbs 11, verse 13. Do we have those up here? Proverbs 11, 13. A gossip betrays confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. A pastor friend of mine, he said that they were celebrating their church's anniversary. And they were doing a meal, and they were doing all kinds of just fun stuff. And so he dressed down for the party that they were having. I think they were doing a cookout or something like that, and he wore jeans. And his wife wasn't even in attendance for the church party. So one of the ladies in the church sends out a text to her friend, and in the text saying, can you believe that this is our church's anniversary, and the pastor didn't even dress up for it, and the pastor's wife, the first lady of the church, she's not even here for it. She sends out a text, and it goes into a group text that the pastor and his wife are in. Anybody ever done that? Won't make that mistake three times. The pastor gets the text. Okay, here we go. This is an awesome celebration today. God's been faithful in our church for years and years. This is a high watermark. We're here to celebrate. And I'm about to throw up. Because we got people that are sitting out there shooting text messages back and forth talking about me and my wife while I'm up here trying to celebrate God's faithfulness. His wife gets it, and the pastor was just going to kind of take the heat and not worry about it. The wife gets it, and she's like, I ain't taking the heat. You want to swing? I'm going to swing back. So she fires off a text to the group and says, I just want to let whoever knows on this text, which is basically the committee that planned this event, that you planned it on my daughter's 16th birthday, that we had planned this whole extravagant birthday party where we were taking her out of town, and my husband is not even in attendance for my daughter's 16th birthday so that he can be with you, and that while you're talking about him, and I'm trying to celebrate our daughter, and while I'm away celebrating our daughter, I get text saying that I'm not enough. The Bible says this, a man who speaks on a matter he knows not of makes him a fool. Number one, check your text messages. Number two, don't send the text in the first place. If you've got a problem with the pastor and you don't like what he's wearing, then come up and talk to him and say, hey, can I help you develop your wardrobe a little bit? But you don't have to be critical and just say, hey, I just got some concerns. I would like to maybe see you dress up, or I would like to see your wife in attendance. Oh, great. I would like to let you know that this whole thing was planned on my daughter's birthday, that we already had this. Oh, great. Understanding. You know, whenever you ask a question, instead of making an accusation, you're able to gather information to where then you can make a good decision. That all rhymed and sounded really good. It almost sounds like, who's the guy that wrote Whoville or something? Dr. Seuss. Yeah, that was a little Dr. Seuss. Ask a question, don't make an accusation, you'll get information so you can make a better decision. Like, that's just wisdom. And when you lead with an accusation, you look like an idiot. Rather, lead with a question, and you'll get to a better answer, and you don't look like a fool. Proverbs 17, verse 27. Can you bridle your tongue when your heart is under pressure? This is good. Hey, are you man enough to handle this? Are you woman enough to be able to handle information? The pressure's on. Oh my gosh, I got an inside track on this. Oh my gosh, the pressure, and I got to tell somebody. Can you handle it? That's how you show if you're wise. An understanding heart, they keep their cool and they're calm and they're collected no matter what they're facing. When even a fool bites his tongue, he's considered wise. So shut your mouth when you're provoked. It'll actually make you look smart. Proverbs 18:33, spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and it's foolish. Or we could say, if you speak on matters that you don't know about, it makes you a fool. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse person, what they do is they stir up conflict. And a gossip, they separate close friends. That's a divider right there. How about this? In Luke chapter 12, verse 13, Jesus had the opportunity to pick up a secondhand offense here. The Bible says that someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." I don't know how many times I'll do funerals, and the family, they're sitting on this side, and they're sitting on that side, and they won't even come, and they're stuck in the parking lot, and they won't come in. Many times, why? Because we're going to divide up dad's estate, and we're ticked at each other, because I wanted the boat, but you got the golf cart, and I wanted the watch. We're not here to grieve dad, we're just here to like divide his stuff. And Jesus gets this information. Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me the judge over you to decide such things?" Even Jesus says, "Hey, I'm not going there." Nope, don't drag me into all of this stuff. He goes, there's no wisdom in all of that stuff. I don't play in that game. Can you just stay away from all of the information of stuff and people's life going on? Jesus doesn't get into all of it. Why should you? The excuses sometimes that we have of why we want to share with others, they don't hold water when we lean them up against the scripture and the word of God. Just bite your tongue. Stop talking. It divides. It does not unite. And we want to drive a culture of trust and of covering each other. Do not engage in that battle. That battle is not for you to fight. We didn't get through three verses this morning. We got through the first part of half of a verse. But I think it was helpful. If for anything, you heard my heart on the issue and what we're after in a culture. I'll tell you, in a team, in a locker room, on a school bus, in a family, in a department, in an organization, if you don't buy into this, then your department's done. Your division's done. Your culture is done. Like, if you miss it on this, you've missed it. You've missed it in your family. You've missed it in your marriage. We've just missed it. What about for some, you're sitting in here and you're saying, hey, I couldn't agree with you more, but I was the person talked about. Whew, man, and my heart is just, I'm sucking wind. And I want to forgive, but like everything that you just said, yeah, we're divided now. Yeah, my heart got wonky. I don't want to be back there. I don't want to come here because I know how y'all treat each other. What if you're in that spot and you're like, man, I just need a little healing and I need to be covered right now? I would love for us to pray over two things. Number one, that we would have some conviction about if we do behave like this. And number two, that we'd have some healing if we've been treated like this. So both, right? It's for both parties. Let's get better and let's get healed so that we can walk out of here looking a lot more like Jesus. So I want to pray for us. And here's a scripture that I'm leaning into. It's Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. It says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. I don't know about you, but I want forgiven. I haven't always nailed it. I want forgiven. And so I want to bring my heart before the Lord and say, Jesus, I just cannot control this tongue. I love information and I love sharing it. But I want to change and I want to look like you, Jesus. Maybe for others, you're like, man, I have gotten dinged time and time and time again by a spouse, by an ex-spouse, by my own kids, by my boss, by my work family. And my heart's just sucking wind. And I don't want to live this way. Man, I want to live healed. I want to live whole. I want to live restored. I want to, come on, Jesus, strengthen me. Because I'm dinged right now. Strengthen me. So we're just going to have those two responses here this morning. We're going to step into that conviction and ask for forgiveness. And we're going to step into that place of healing. And we're going to get restored this morning. Whichever place you are right now, the Lord knows. So would you just begin to do some business with the Lord, asking for forgiveness? And I'll just lead us into some prayers like this. This is how I'll pray. Jesus, just please forgive me for words that I've spoken about others. Come on, just begin to pray. Jesus, forgive me when I'm not safe. Forgive me where I've exposed people. Jesus, would you forgive me for being a gossip? Lord, I pray that you would put gossip so far from me that I would have a distaste in my mouth. I pray that my mouth would cover people, that my mouth would speak blessing over people. Jesus, today I pray that I'd be changed, make my mouth look a lot more like yours. For those that you've been kind of hurt through this, let's just take our hurt hearts before the Lord. Jesus, I pray that you would heal me. Man, when they said that, it hurt so bad. That hurt so bad. I thought I had a friend. Jesus, will you heal me? Will you restore me? Will you help me trust again? I want to get up from the mat. I want to get up from the carpet. I want to start walking healthy. I want to be whole. Heal me, Jesus. Restore me. And even while they still talk about me, Jesus, let me keep my head high. Let me keep my hope in you. Strengthen my energy. Strengthen my spine to be able to stand today, Lord. God, I pray that our church family would be healthy, that we would look like heaven, that we'd be full of grace, full of hope, that we'd back each other. Keep slander and gossip far from us, God. Let us shine in this area. We want to be like you, Jesus. We want to be like you in all of our ways and all that we do. Church family, let us pray a blessing upon us. As we leave here, we go into our holiday weekend, we'd have life-giving times with our families and our friends. We just pray a blessing upon this house. May this place look like you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.